This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks so much for joining us. Middle show of the work week. No cell phone broadcast on this edition of After Hours. I am so thankful for that. Yes, there is safety and security in studio, though, to be honest, and I guess to be fair about it, we have had some major technical difficulties here in studio as well, since the equipment, especially the computers, have they've just been grandfathered in from 1982. It's more fun that way. You know, those old tube TVs, and there may be a few of you who have one. I just got rid of one, maybe 4 years ago. It was a little more like 5 or 6 years ago. I had one, and it was in my rental house before I purchased the house that I'm living in now. And I tried to get rid of it. Unbeknownst to me, you can't get anyone to take that or even a flat screen these days because they're so inexpensive and the technology is constantly getting an upgrade and getting a facelift, and people would rather have a brand new TV than buy someone else's. So we certainly understand that TVs are not easy to sell. They're not hard to acquire brand new. But I thought maybe I could give it away. No, no one wanted it. Not even the recycling center wanted it. That's the situation we're in with these computer monitors, the ones that are used for Marco's updates or used for the rundown of callers that we might get. It's how I punch callers up on the air. So yeah, those computers, they've gone down before, and we've been in all kinds of hot water because Jay also has a couple in his control room that he has to rely on. And then the clock. Oh man, more problems with the clock and the studio not having clocks. It's not been fun at night when we can't get a hold of engineers. So to have a broadcast go kaput right in the middle and then needing to finish on a cell phone, I suppose, isn't the worst thing that could happen. Also, you all were relatively amused. I saw your messages on social media on Twitter, A-Law Radio. But if you'd like to send a question for Ask Amy Anything, which comes up next hour, you can do that on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then also on our Facebook page. And it's funny because I was telling a friend of mine at church about every week we do this segment called Ask Amy Anything. He had said something about, I want to ask Amy. And it triggered in my head, ask Amy anything. And so I explained that we do it every week on the show. And he, of course, asks me a question. He has to, because that's what people do. But it was a sports question. And since I don't know him all that well, we work together with the young people at our church. I didn't have the heart to tell him I don't really answer sports questions. I did it. I just pretended. But yeah, at this point, for those of you asking me to make predictions about the NBA championship, I don't have any idea who's going to win the NBA title this year. My goodness, we don't even know the seeds yet, and we've got 2 months. Do you know the NBA finals don't start till June 6th, which incidentally is my hubby's birthday? They don't start till June 6th. The NBA finals are 2 months from now. Two months from now. That's a long time. So here I was thinking that while we were on our honeymoon, which is 3 weeks from today, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, while we're on our honeymoon, that we'd be missing a bunch in the NBA. Oh no, it's essentially just going to be two or three games of the semifinals that'll take place while we're gone. Do you think I can do it, Jay? Go an entire 2 weeks and not watch any sports whatsoever?
I think so.
The longest I've ever done that is a 10-day trip to Cuba, where not only did we not have TVs or internet access for 10 days, but I was working with kiddos most of the time, and just a completely different world in Havana where our team was working. And so that was probably my longest, 10 days without any TV or any social media.
That's a long time off the grid.
It was blissful. Actually, I was definitely, well, I wasn't off the grid in as much as I had a cell phone that I could text with. So the text messaging was spotty, but I would get texts from
communication.
Yeah, from home, and I was able to send them. Now they would kind of get chopped up in weird segments, but my mom and I were able to communicate, and I was able to communicate with a couple other people while I was there. But for the most part, the only way that I did anything was the pastor at the place where we worked, he had dial-up internet. And so nice. I think twice over those 10 days, I sat down at his computer and was able to type an email. But it took forever because it's really slow. And it was just worth sending like a quick couple lines to the family back home. But yeah, it was 10 days without sports. So the honeymoon is 14 days. We're gone for 2 weeks. It's the longest vacation I've ever taken. I'm so excited. We're going to go that far. We might as well do it all. You never know when you're going to get back.
Two weeks in Hawaii and you need it.
Yeah. And so that's going to be the longest I'll ever go without watching sports.
You think you'll log into Twitter like once as you're in bed, like going to sleep, or like, oh, maybe what happened today? I don't know.
No, I don't care what happened. Like once I'm out of that mode, it'll take me 2-3 days. And once I'm out of it, the sports are dead to me, really. I'll catch up when I get back. We've got an 11-hour red eye home from Hawaii when we return, so I got plenty of time then to catch up. So no, and in terms of social media, I might post a photo or two when we first get there. Also, we've got a couple of really cool experiences that were gifts. And so for that reason, you know, I may post a photo or two, but I don't think so. I think I'll be pretty happy. We'll send family photos back, right? We've got two family group chats, his side and my side. Actually, his side is fragmented into about 3 or 4 different chats. So it's different parts of the family, whereas mine is, it's the 8 of us. So we're all into one. But we'll send photos. I can't imagine we'll do much other communicating. Maybe a video call with his mom and my mom just to show them the beach or something like that. So, yeah, we're pretty excited about it. Really excited about being off the grid in Hawaii. What more could you ask for?
Not much. Not much.
Not
it sounds
much.
Great. Sounds lovely.
So, yeah, we're heading out not long after the NFL draft and not long after the hoops and hockey playoffs get through the first round. So we'll maybe miss 2-3 games. You'll just have to keep me posted. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It is our hump show, which means you can ask Amy anything about 90 minutes from now. So again, send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or to our Facebook page. Coming up on this hour of the show, Draymond Green finally gets Klay Thompson on his podcast. Apparently it's been quite the brouhaha because Klay doesn't like to talk, I guess. And so he's pretty protective of his time away from hoops. And so He did, according to Dre. Schedule and then unschedule. Commit and then decommit, like he's going to college or something. But they finally sat down, and I really enjoyed it because I love Clay. We love Clay around here. And obviously, Clay loves us too. I mean, we know this because we have the audio evidence of his commitment and faith and appreciation for After Hours.
You're listening to one of the best shows in America, After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
See? See what I mean? It's not a fluke. We didn't piece that together with AI technology.
This is Clay Thompson.
Said it himself.
He said it himself. It was Clay Thompson. Anyway, so we love Clay and big fan of him and Steph and their relationships. Anyway, Clay sat down and not only asked Dre about his ejections and suspension, but also gave the scoop to Draymond Green about his pending free agency. Now, if you were with us, was it a week and a half ago? Last week when we talked to Monty Poole from the NBC Sports Bay Area, who was talking about not just the Warriors and how they're playing right now, but also talking about the fact that Klay Thompson very well could be on another team in 2024-25. Yeah, that was jarring to hear. I was not expecting that. So Draymond Green asks Clay point blank about free agency and a couple of his revelations I think you'll find interesting. So we'll get to that, as well as John Calipari, who explains his departure after 15 seasons in Kentucky. But why don't we talk a little bit about women's college basketball, because it actually had more viewers for its championship game than did the men. And that's no slouch for the men. It's still a great game, a coronation of UConn, two major stars. Well, I would say two major centers who were stars, Zach Edey, Donovan Klingon, who still has more to his college career. And we know that for a team to repeat is a big deal. It doesn't happen very often. So obviously there were plenty of people tuned in. UConn is turning in, well, if not already, is a blue blood. And as we heard from Dan Hurley, is the standard, right, is the team to beat in college hoops now. I mean, college hoops, he says, are dominated by UConn over the past 25 to 30 years, if you consider both men and women. So Monday night's game did see a 4% increase in the viewership. Now, remember, this game was on TBS and TNT. It was not on CBS, which has the rights, but has split these games up among the networks who are part of this rights deal. So the men's final was on TBS and TNT, whereas the women's final was ABC and ESPN. And the women's final was Sunday afternoon, where we love sports. We love sports. It started at 3 o'clock Eastern time, 3 o'clock Cleveland time, which was noon on the West Coast. Fits right into our patterns and what we love about Sundays during football season, right? That's our wheelhouse, baby. Bring us the football. We love all the football. So I like the time slot for the women, whereas for the men, and it not a big deal to us, right? Or to people who were watching in Arizona, because the game tipped off around 6:20 local time. But on the East Coast, you're talking about a game that tipped off close to 9:30. I mean, it's not my lifestyle. I don't go to bed early, but sometimes my hubs is in bed before 10. So I understand why people who have to wake up early maybe didn't want to stay up and watch the whole game, despite the fact that it was UConn going for a second consecutive title. So all those factors coming together, it doesn't surprise me that the final on TBS and TNT averaged fewer viewers than did the women's game. Also, there is not a brighter star in college hoops this season than Caitlin Clark. There is not. It doesn't matter men, women, doesn't matter the program. I mean, UConn has got Donovan Klingon, but then they've got a bunch of other guys that make it a very balanced, deep team. I'm not even sure Klingon is I wouldn't say that he's a household name. I wouldn't say he's a superstar. I mean, he's a great player, but they're a team that has a bunch of guys that come together, they play defense, they rebound, and they can score and beat you a variety of ways. But they're not driven by a Zach Edey. So then you've got Caitlin Clark and the women, South Carolina going for an undefeated championship against Iowa. All of the reasons that we talked about on Sunday afternoon, nearly 19 million viewers. So the adjusted numbers from Nielsen, the final numbers from Nielsen, 18.87 million viewers on average. So just shy of 18.9 million viewers on average. The men's championship averaged just shy of 15 million. So that's still huge. That's still better than your NBA Finals games, better than the Stanley Cup Final games, far better than the World Series and those games. So yeah, this was a banner year for college hoops. The ratings were up on both the men's and women's side. In fact, the UConn-Alabama game, which was Saturday night, right? And that one also tipped off pretty late. I know because I was still working on my taxes at the time. That one was over 14 million. So this is just for context. The men's semifinals, they had more viewers on Saturday afternoon and evening than the women had on Friday afternoon and evening. All right, but then the women's final had more viewers than the men's final. But still, 67 games in the men's NCAA tournament on the four channels. That includes True TV. The 67 games averaged just below 10 million viewers, which is up 3% from last spring. So you had more of the top seeds who advanced, the one seeds. You had some star power, huge fan bases for teams like UConn and Purdue. NC State was such a great story. I know there were some earlier upsets like Kentucky, North Carolina, Houston, but we still ended up with some very passionate fan bases. And that helps, not to mention name recognition among the teams that were still standing into the second weekend and then the Final Four. And coming up, we'll hear from Caitlin Clark about those ratings and just the banner that's now waving for women's college sports and the attention that was on her as she wins the Wooden Award again. But before that, a retirement by a Hall of Famer in college basketball. So on the heels of the Final Four, Tara Vanderveer of Stanford steps away. She is expected to remain with the university in an advisory role, so not that dissimilar from what we know of Mike Krzyzewski and some of the others who have stepped away. But no more coaching for Tara. 1,216 victories over 45 years as a head coach. She's 70 years old, three national championships, and the most recent one came against Arizona in 2021. Gosh, that was a great Final Four as well. 38 seasons at Stanford with 14 Final Fours. Not only is she a Hall of Famer, but she's also a five-time National Coach of the Year. She worked with USA Basketball and won a gold medal. I look forward to hearing more from her. But she had just passed Duke and Army coach. I love how, well, because you have to add the wins from Coach K's Army days as well, because we're talking total number of wins. She had just passed Coach K's total from Duke and Army. He had 1,202 wins in his career. In January, she got her 1,203rd. And then added a few more before the end of the season. Stanford, I think, lost in the Sweet 16. So the game will not be the same without her. I can't even imagine Stanford basketball without her on the sidelines. It's a little bit like not seeing Coach K at Duke. But she is, no doubt, one of the greatest coaches the sport has ever seen. And I wonder, too, just as a side note, I'm not sure if she'll mention this, how much the demise of the Pac-12 has to do with her stepping away. Because it's coming. There are just a couple of teams left. Maybe they use the name. They'll eventually add some teams. But the Pac-12 as we know it is disintegrating. And that's what she's known for all of her decades there at Stanford. So you've got 10 of the teams in the conference departing for what they believe to be greener pastures. And that includes Stanford to the ACC. So you wonder if it's about that maybe. At 70 years old, you're talking about a lot of cross-country travel. You're talking about all new horizons and conference games and everything else that comes along with being in the ACC. It's just a different vibe all around. And then you throw in NIL and the transfer portal. And while that does help a lot of coaches that they know how to navigate it, again, it's just everything's changed. The sand under their feet now as coaches is shifting sand. All right, coming up, John Calipari, not retiring, but changing colors. You'll hear from the coach himself as he prepares to depart the Wildcats and Lexington after 15 years and a national championship most recently in 2012. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You go through this, and I've been the ups and downs of this sport. But this one, I'm really hurting for them. Because there's other years, your team, you max out and you lose a game and you're like, geez, this team I really felt could have done so much more.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Of course, the disappointment, the dejection, even the determination to examine everything about the way he recruited and put together his teams at Kentucky. But that was in the aftermath of the Wildcats becoming the biggest upset of the NCAA tournament this spring. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It was Oakland as a 14 seed that took out Kentucky, who was a 3 when the tournament began. So it was a short run, And that's essentially what it's been for the Wildcats over these last, 5 years with John Calipari. The wins have been hard to come by at the tournament level. 15 years in Lexington. They did win the national title in 2012. I remember that run. It was so much fun. Wildcats fans, Cats fans, they're crazy and just passionate. It is essentially a pro sport in the state of Kentucky. 4 Final Fours in his first 6 seasons there. And so UK basketball was all the rage. Also made the Elite Eight in 17 and 19. But since that time, so last 5 seasons, just a single NCAA win. They're certainly a blue blood because of their history, and it's not that distant. A championship in 2012, there are a lot of schools that would take that. Always has recruiting classes that are rife with NBA prospects. Very often, he's got guys leaving, multiple guys leaving after 1 season in Lexington to enter the NBA draft and then our lottery picks. So he definitely had a system and a culture. Guys speak so highly of him. But the reports are that he's now finalizing terms of a deal to coach Arkansas as his next stop. So not retiring. He took to social media and recorded a video that was about 4 minutes long. And he had nothing but positive things to say about Kentucky.
Since our season ended, Ellen and I have spent a lot of time thinking about our time here at Kentucky. What it means to us, the friends we've made. On that court, regional championships, conference championships, Final Fours, the national title in 2012. It's been a beautiful time for us. This is a dream job. It was my dream job. Anybody in our profession looks at the University of Kentucky in basketball and said, that is the bluest of blue. The last few weeks, we've come to realize that this program probably needs to hear another voice, that the university as a whole has to have another voice giving guidance about this program that they hear. And the fans need to hear another voice.
A different voice for the basketball team, different voice for the athletic department, different voice for the recruits, though many of them may decide to go elsewhere. And that's the hard thing about a transition from a coach as high profile and as accomplished as Coach Cal to the next coach. I mean, think about what happened when Nick Saban retired. Think about what will happen as Tara Vanderveer retires. Think about any of the recent departures and how that has set off a domino effect of players who either make different plans, so maybe they weren't intending to depart for the NBA. They might try their hands there, or the NFL, I guess, as it were, for including college football coaches in this. Or they immediately hit the transfer portal, or in the case of recruits, they decide they'll go somewhere else. They decommit. We, again, don't have a final contract or a final announcement from Arkansas or Coach Cal, but all the reports indicate it is coming soon. Now, people may question whether or not he still wants to coach, which to me seems odd. Why would you question that? If he still had passion for Kentucky, or if it just didn't mean as much to him anymore, and that's why he's making a change. But that's not what you get from him. And honestly, I don't think a coach who isn't committed or isn't passionate could withstand or survive all the changes at the college level.
I loved every day walking in. They've invigorated me. I love the chase for championships. I love bringing the kids together. It's what I do. It's who I am.
And he's really good at it. You've got an NBA full of guys who are Kentucky products, including an MVP candidate in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander of the Thunder.
Kyle put me in a position to live my dream out, recruiting me, trusting me on his team, on his basketball team, and kind of gave me the keys towards the end. So I'll forever be, I guess, grateful and appreciative of Cal, no matter where he goes and no matter what decision he does with his career. I love that guy.
All that you've done to build this program, the people that traveled with us, I want to thank you. Hopefully it was an experience with your kids that you can look at and say, man, this is something that we'll remember the rest of our lives together. Those memories and what we were able to do together is what this is all about. Again, it's been a dream what we've been able to do, but 15 years, time for another voice, and you know I'm always going to be a fan. Thank you.
Good stuff. I've seen him. Where did I see him courtside in an NBA game? Oh, son. He was there watching Devin Booker and the Suns play in Cleveland, maybe? It was recently. It was obviously after they lost in the NCAA tournament, bowed out early. So he had more time on his hands. I'm a big fan of Coach Cal, so I can't wait to see what he does at Arkansas. All right, straight ahead, more from the college ranks. And on the women's side, not only did Tara Vanderveer retire, and I'm sure we'll hear from her at some point, like we're hearing from Coach Cal about his Kentucky departure, but another national award for Caitlin Clark. I mean, that's maybe a ho-hum, although I probably not to her and her family. But interesting to hear her talk about the explosion in viewership and popularity for her sport, as well as what's next at the WNBA level. And the draft is actually Monday. What are the chances that the WNBA draft has more viewers than it's ever had in its history? I mean, Jay and I have already looked at the schedule, and we know that the Indiana Fever, who will select Caitlin Clark, there's no secret there, that they open up in Brooklyn. That's where they start their season. Oh, second game. I'm sorry.
Second game.
All right.
It's Liberty's first game at home. The Fever will be their second game.
Okay. Got that mixed up. So the second game that isn't an in-state sort of thing includes this massive superstar. And Jay was telling me, how much are tickets just when you looked?
So just for the other ones, or all the other Liberty games are around $40, $50, $35. This game against the Fever, minimum ticket to get into the door, $120, just starting right now.
How about that? For a WNBA game early in the season. And I'm not, that's not a knock on the WNBA, just that it's so completely about Caitlin and the fact that that people want to see her play at the next level.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm. The hope is that it's sustainable. That's right. It's the idea that the first couple of games, yes, can it sustain through the whole season? Can it sustain into, does it have to be a playoff run? What if she's not involved? It's all the things that you just hope that can elevate the entire league. You're hoping that she's the key to possibly bringing it to the forefront more than it has been in the last few years. It'd be awesome if that's the case.
So, Jay, I'm looking at the schedule. Maybe I'm just looking in the wrong place. 2024. Are you sure you didn't accidentally look at last year's schedule? Because I don't see...
I see the Fever opening up in against the Sun on May 14th.
Oh, gotcha.
And then the next game, the 16th, they're in New York.
Well, actually, the Liberty are in Indiana for the second game. Then I see it. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Yep. Saturday, right. May 18th. It's a home and home,
home, if you will. Yeah.
The Fever take on the Liberty. And that one is at Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Okay. I got you now. I mean, I want to see her. I know that I've got friends who work for the Wings in Dallas, and the Fever's first preseason game is on the road in Dallas, and they're over the moon excited. And that's coming up. It's actually coming up quickly, but they do their season so differently. The draft takes place, and they go right into training camp. So she will have no break whatsoever. I mean, she is going to graduate, right? I think she's going to graduate, but she's leaving school, so she won't even finish out this semester. Whatever she might have, she'll have to do it remotely. But yeah, they have the draft next Monday. They go right into training camp. Their first preseason game is now just over 3 weeks away, so it's very quick. And then they have only two preseason games, a lot more like the NFL format, before they start the season on Tuesday, May 14th. So a month after she gets drafted, she's already playing games that count again. That is one hell of a schedule.
It is, but this is actually good for the WNBA, mm-hmm. and you're hoping that it capitalizes because now it's something at the forefront of the mind. You don't get a lot of time to sit back
Agreed.
From off of the high from coming from the national championship game. So this is good for them to be able to, again, it's about sustaining. It's not going to be the first game because you know everybody, that's going to be something that people are going to look at. It's going to be game 4, game 5, game 12, game, you know, whatever it is. Can it sustain through the whole year? Because it's sustained through year after year. That'll be the hope.
Mm. Still, though, she's going to hit a wall at some point. That just happens. I mean, it happens to professional players who are, you know, they're especially rookie seasons, they're going through a much longer schedule than they're used to. And even though she's been playing basketball kind of ad nauseum since October, more than likely, I mean, to get drafted, go right into training camp. She also had a USA camp in there somewhere, I think, because she's going to participate in Team USA. And then to tip off in the first game of her actual WNBA season in a month.
Ooh, just think of the up in competition, too. Just
right back in basketball. Yeah.
Look, and rookie years anyway, you're going to hit some sort of a wall regardless. This one, with the way the schedule is, yeah, she's probably going to hit it a little bit earlier than maybe if you look at like the NBA rookie season. They got a little bit more time to sit back. But again, it's a change. It's a step mm-hmm. up. You're already going to run into some sort of a wall.
Of course.
This is kind of a crazy schedule.
Yeah,
but it's good in that regard of trying to capitalize on the momentum. It sounds ad nauseum, but it's the idea of can this sustain? Because we've seen good players, not to Caitlin Clark's level of weight. I mean, she's took the world by storm. But it's the idea of being able to take some of the big-time marquee names, transfer into the WNBA, and hope that it actually brings light to that. Because it seems like we're willing, as a society, we're willing to, we look at women's college game and we watch the tournament. We enjoy it. We like it. But it doesn't seem like it's resonating as much in the WNBA. The hope is that maybe she can be the key to that, that it changes and it trickles over.
I hope so.
The magic, the bird thing, where all of a sudden it elevates the entire league.
Angel Reese as well, Camila Cardoso as well. These are two major stars. I just had the thought too. Not only, I know she right now, well, she's from Iowa right now, is living in Iowa presumably, but she also has to move. I mean, she's got to find a place to live in Indianapolis. She's got to move. I mean, all of that stuff. And you're a month out from your first pro game. Oh, my gosh. That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, the moving, you're right. And I'm assuming that's going to be something where she's going to have some help.
Regardless, maybe she would like to pick the place herself at least, you know?
Well, that first year.
Second.
Yeah, I mean, that's almost like where you get traded in season, where it's like, look, just figure out a place to hang your hat for a couple of months, and then we'll decide exactly where you want to be later, when you got more time to kind of sit back and
do
it.
But even that, being unsettled, change, new city, new place to live, someone's going to pack up your stuff and move it, then you got to unpack it, or someone else has to unpack it. I mean, it's a lot.
It's the little things. I mean, where you get coffee? Where are you getting food? Like, I mean, whenever you do something new, when you don't know where you are, and you're like, where the hell am I going? How do I get there?
All right, coming up, you'll hear from her, though, another Wooden Award for Caitlin Clark, and I'm so impressed with how she handles not just the spotlight, but her business. It's going to get a lot more complicated coming up.
You are listening to the
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
After Hours Podcast.
Into a Folter, dribbles down to the right baseline, cut off by Pau-Pau, picks up her dribble, needs some help, a Folter, gets it out to Stolke, pitch it to Clark, right wing three, got it, Caitlin Clark with a triple, it's a 10-0 Iowa start. Here's Clark with it, curling to the free throw line, lob it to Marshall, in the right corner, up on the wing it goes to Clark, 15 to shoot, she'll launch the three, hit it again, Clark's got 18 first quarter points.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
That's Ryan Radke on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. Caitlin Clark wraps up her career with a pair of losses, back-to-back losses in the NCAA championship game, most recently against South Carolina. But man, what a career. Short of winning the championship, which I know was her ultimate goal, you can't imagine a more decorated college run. And on Tuesday, the winner of the 2024 Wooden Award. So the outstanding player in women's college basketball for a second straight year, topping Paige Beckers, Cameron Brink, who just found out that her, she's going to the WNBA, but her coach Tara Vanderveer is retiring. Juju Watkins, the Fab freshman for USC. And then Hannah Hidalgo, who is also a freshman for Notre Dame. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Not a big surprise, but always good to hear from Caitlin. And this is now just days away from the WNBA draft. So yet another award for what is a very extensive and I'm assuming elaborate trophy case.
I think the biggest thing is just like how fortunate and lucky I am. Like these awards never get old. I'm super fortunate to have a team like I do, to have played for a university that supports women's basketball so much. And the two seasons that we've been able to put together the last couple of years have been really special. So I know it goes fast, but I think the biggest thing I've tried to remind myself is just how grateful I am. And a lot of people would want to be in my shoes. So that's kind of how I try to view everything.
She did an interview with ESPN after the Wooden Award was announced. And of course, you know, if you've been paying any attention, that she has rewritten the scoring records for college hoops, not just women, not just D1. She finished with more points, 3,951. She came so close to scoring 4,000 points in a career. No one's ever done that. But she finished with 3,951 points, more than any men's or women's player at the D1 level. Only women's player to have more than 3,000 points and 1,000 assists in her career. How about that? No woman has ever logged as many assists. She finished with 1,144. And I didn't know this until I was reading about her following the Wooden Award. 990 rebounds. She was just shy of having 1,000 rebounds in her career. And of course, she is expected to be the number one pick in the WNBA draft coming up on Monday. So what's next?
being ready to learn. I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, I know there's a new challenge in front of me. It's a fresh chapter in life, but that's what excites me the most. It's like obviously a lot different going into college, but different environment, such talented players, you know, team has so much talent. So I think the biggest thing is just I'm excited to learn, excited to be coached by new coaches. And yeah, I think the biggest thing is like just the challenge.
Well, it should be a lot of fun. We were just looking over the schedule. It's relatively chaotic between the end of her college season and Final Four. And think about the emotional toll that takes, not to mention she's got to be exhausted. I mean, it's been nonstop for her. Who even knows if she's had time to go to class or study, but there generally would be an element of that too. And yet she handles it with such grace, with such class, even when 19 million average viewers are tuned in for her championship game and the Iowa-South Carolina battle on Sunday.
It's so hard to wrap your head around. I mean, just when you see those numbers up against some of the biggest sporting events in the world, whether it's the Masters, whether it's the NBA Finals, whether it's college football, I think that really puts into perspective what we're able to do and the way people want to watch women's basketball and watch women's sports. And I mean, it's truly incredible. And just the way it's grown even over the course of the last year, I mean, 8.9 million was special last year in the national title game. And then 18.7 this year, I think it just shows where women's basketball can go and women's sports in general, when you give them a platform. So I know our team and our program and our university was just lucky to be a part of it. And obviously South Carolina, them too, season they had was just incredible. There's only so much you can do. And Coach Staley is, you know, one of the best all time. So it was fun going up against them.
Caitlin Clark, as she receives the Wooden Award for the second straight season, one more, because there's been so much pressure. Dawn Staley even mentioned it and thanked her for carrying the heavy load for women's college basketball this season.
Coach Bluder always tried to remind me, you know, pressure is a privilege, and I'm so lucky to be in this moment. And I think at times you could see that with maybe how I played or things, just little things. You could tell I could really feel the weight of the world on my shoulders. But I think more than anything, just the confidence. Like, this is a team sport. That's always what I relied on. And I had so many people around me supporting me. And that's what I was always, you know, just fell back onto. And that's what just reminded me every single day of how fortunate I am to play this game. And then more than anything, I've put a lot of work into this and I'm ready for these moments.
Caitlin has so much on her plate right now that it would be impossible to secure an interview with her, not to mention she will soon be the most prized recruit slash rookie of the Indiana Fever in the WNBA. But we are going to reach out to Iowa and South Carolina and see if we can get a player or two from these two teams that played in a game that was watched at its height by roughly 25 million people. Such a great spotlight for the women's game this year. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.